from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission. The Score!
There we go. There we go. Let's focus. Let's get after it.
That's how it ended. It ended with a beginning. Hard Knocks ends with Caleb Williams donning his Bears helmet, going through his little personal mantra as he gets himself ready to take the practice field. But soon it's going to be the real field.
I liked that, but I was like, ooh, there needed to be something else. And I get that you want to end on Caleb. I kind of wish that would have, like, maybe the end shot. And now we're picking nits, but the end shot is then him going into the huddle and saying, "All right, guys, whatever the play call is," and then out. But I
could have been in the last episode where Mecole Hardman was like, "No, you're gonna have nerves."
Yeah,
take it from the vet.
But seeing him go through that process is really of not having them, or at least saying that he doesn't have them, and then you kind of see how he goes about calming himself before things go haywire. I thought it was cool, but I'm like, wait, there should be one more scene here. And then you can go off into do your faraway shot. And
then somewhere in the distance, Kevin Warren is waking up without an alarm clock.
Well, they didn't have to do that, but
what was he in this last episode?
He was in his office looking at the George Halas picture on his bookshelf and talking about how he keeps thinking, well, what would Halas do? And I personally don't
probably
think that that's
racist.
That's part of the problem is that I don't know. You don't have to pay fealty so much that you lose sight of the fact that.
Right. It's a bad look. You know, it's a bad look.
You can just say like we are founded by Halas, and obviously like his spirit runs through this, but
not a perfect person.
You don't even have to say that. Like, I got it.
Mm-hmm. They ended up showing the statue too in a subsequent scene
of
with the sun rising, just not Kevin Warren looking at the statue.
I gotta be honest, guys. I was still watching the Cubs game too. Like,
it was 5-0 at that point.
I know, but it's a real game. And
she has a job.
But I was like,
she didn't have to worry about playing clips for, you know, Allison.
Oh, she's got 15 different producers that do that all for her.
Excuse me, what? Yeah.
She's got a whole team of people that
they just walk around with clipboards and stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's not like you have to, you know, come up with your own stuff and then write your own newscast.
I always love it when they're like, Lily, just read the teleprompter. Like, give it a try, sweetheart. Give it a try.
I write my stuff.
Yeah, you go ahead and give it a try.
Then you write it.
She doesn't cover the White Sox. She reads the teleprompter. I ad-lib the post-game show with a scorecard. Try it.
You write it and you time it.
Oh, that's right. You can't even put your name on a comment. Cool.
And then
when you get the courage, maybe Big Boy will then put his name on something, and then maybe we can talk about step two.
Can we now that the football after show is broken up like the Infinity Gems, can we talk about what you guys are doing on Sports Sunday for Bears coverage?
I don't know. Back to you, Lawrence.
Well, there's a commercial. There's a commercial for one of the things.
Is there?
Yeah, Dave wants that.
Oh.
There's a whole promo. Dave Wonstead is going to be
on Marquee.
he is going to be on marquee.
That I know because I heard it in a promo while I was watching the Cubs game.
But on he's going to be on Sports Sunday with Layla Rahimi.
Why does he work so hard?
Because he loves ball.
He must.
That's why.
He must, man. He just he's constantly working. He's got a house in Naples.
So we can just get everything together. Wani will be on Marquee and on NBC 5. Alex and Lance are going to be on CHGO.
Mm-hmm. And we gave you our full rundown of everything on this show yesterday.
I currently don't have a television.
Full thing. Well, Caleb
Back to
Williams,
you, Lawrence.
Caleb Williams currently. Spoke with reporters today at Halas Hall ahead of his first NFL game. And it sounded a little something like this.
They've been challenging me from that stage and to now. They haven't been trying to, you know, add to the challenge throughout the time. They, you know, first day they were out there trying to get after us, get after me, bringing that challenge to me. It's been awesome, the amount of ball that I've been able to see, the amount of ball that I've been able to learn from the coaches, and also from being out there with the guys, listening to people like Keenan, and also going versus the defense. So it's been great. It's been honestly really fun, really exciting times, and we're getting ready to go.
Do you think someone that has pushed you through struggles that you don't have to wait for the regular season to experience for the first time?
I think that the way we practice, I don't think there's many teams that practice the way we do. I think being able to go versus defense like this and how tough they are on QBs and things like that, you know, going through this and all of that, I think it's going to help me for, you know, obviously there's going to be times when I do struggle, but you know, when those times come, you know how to kind of get back on track, you know how to, you know, react and things like that in those moments. And I think going versus defense, you know, every single day has helped.
As an extension of that, Fluth said that you guys have worked on, you know, being able to prepare for adversity ahead of time. Are there mental exercises that he's put you through or any sort of tests that are not on the field that have helped you kind of prepare for what you may see if something does go wrong in a moment on Sunday?
Yeah, I would say the constant communication is key. A lot of times when things go wrong, there's a slip of communication. There's a slip of information that we have. So I think first and foremost, I think it's the constant communication and information that we're gathering each day in day in, day out. And then I think, you know, for the adversity part of it, you know, when it does happen, I think it goes back to, again, communication, you know, understanding that, you know, the situation I'm in, you know, bad things are going to happen every once in a while. You're going to throw a pick, you're going to fumble. Whether it's me, whether it's the team, whether it's, you know, we're going to jump off sides, we're going to do a bunch of things. So when those moments of adversity strike, it's more about encouraging. It's more about understanding that we can get out of the situation and not bringing more negativity to the situation that comes up. I think the communication and information part, and then also just understanding there's going to be a lot more times. Obviously, you can't be doing it every single drive or every single play, but there's going to be a lot more times throughout the games or practices where there's going to be a lot more good than bad. You just can't let the bad outweigh the good.
You've been working towards this goal, the first NFL regular season game for a very long time.
Yep.
Are you going to take a moment to step back maybe during pregame just to take it all in, or is it just like business as usual for you?
Well, when feet touch the grass, it's going to be business as usual. But I probably will take I normally like to, when I run out the stadium, kind of do a little spin in the tunnel when I'm coming out the tunnel, just kind of see the stadium, take it all in and feel the, you know, the energy, the vibe and get going from there. Once I do my spin, get down to the sideline, it's go time.
You talked about envisioning every step of this process from since you were a kid, talking about the Heisman and being number one pick and all those things that have come to fruition for you. I imagine you've also envisioned what your first regular season NFL game would be like. Maybe it was 350 and 4 touchdowns. Are you comfortable if the coaches decide that the best game plan for this first
game is to run the ball? Just to run the ball and win the game. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, just if it ain't 350 and the 4 for
exactly. You. Yeah. If we, you know, we come out and decide that the offensive line is dominating, wide receivers are dominating blocks, we're extending runs and things like that. Coach always talks about backside wins championships, front side wins games and things like that. So if we got guys out there, you know, giving that type of energy and, you know, we're handing the ball up and we're getting a 5 a pop, I mean, it's hard to beat, you know, hard to beat that. And so, one, you control the game, control the clock, all these different things, keeping their offense off the field and a bunch of different things. So, you know, I think that, you know, if that's the case, that's the case. As long as we get a win, because last time I remembered, the wins are the most important thing. And so as long as we get that win at the end of the day, 100 yards, 400, you know, it all becomes the same. Go in the locker room, you celebrate, you cheer. Got your 24-hour period to enjoy the win, and then from there you move on and get ready for the next team.
Yeah, one of the big adjustments for rookie quarterbacks is always the speed and how quickly windows close. And we saw in Hard Knocks, I think one of the episodes Matt was telling you on the practice field, that window doesn't stay open.
Yep, can't throw it that late. Yep.
So what has that adjustment been like for you? When do you feel like you've got the hang of how quickly you have to recognize and jump on opportunities?
Yeah, I think partly, I think the biggest thing and the biggest difference from college is that there's guys that's been in the league for 12 years. And so they've seen a bunch of different things. And then there's a guy that comes in the league and he's been there for 4 months, like myself, 3 months. And so, you know, I think it's more of the information that we have, the younger guys. And then obviously the older guys, they've seen so much more. They have a lot more information. They've seen a bunch of offenses and formations and different routes and how people have ran the routes and things like that. So, I think the biggest adjustment is understanding that those guys have a lot more knowledge, a lot more information, a lot more time, and, you know, things like that spent to this game of the NFL. And so, I think that's the biggest adjustment that everybody has to understand, or at least I've kind of come to that, is that, you know, the rookies, we don't have as much knowledge and things like that. So, you have to find ways to be a lot more on time. You have to, you know, know your offense in and out. And then from there you can grow and things like that. And then, as they always say, things will start slowing down at whatever point that may be. You know, when you know all your stuff, you know, you catch up to the speed of your guys and all your stuff, know when routes are going to break, and not holding and sitting on routes as a QB is really important. If it's not there, if it's not what you thought it was going to be, you know, move on to the next route or move on to the check down.
Caleb, what does it mean to you to be named a captain of this group, the talented roster you have? That's my first question. And the second part is we keep hearing the coaches want you to lean on those guys around you. What have you learned about the talent around you?
Yeah, I've said this since, you know, I've come here. We got a top five defense. We just drafted a punter in the fourth round, I believe. You know, we got Cairo, Cairo's. Mr. Santos, we have this, like I said, this amazing defense. We got special guys, wide receiver. We got a special running back. Our offensive line, I believe in our run game, has been like top five in the past 2 or 3 years. It's what I said when I was first drafted, or around that time, of, you know, I'm going to do whatever I need to do for my team to win. No, that's like I spoke about earlier, handing the ball off, leaning on my guys. If that's dropping back, throwing the ball 30 times, that's doing that. It's leaning on my talent. I'm not trying to do anything special. And then, you know, when those moments happen, when those moments come up, you know, third downs, into games and things like that, obviously, you know, there's some routine plays. But, you know, a lot of times those moments are times where, you know, it's time to be special. You know, understanding the leaning on your guys, and also understanding the right situation to go and, you know, do special things on the field. There's a certain balance that you have to find, and, you know, we've been working our tail off. I've been working my tail off to try and find it. So it's been great. It's been fun. And then your second question about the being a captain, I'm extremely grateful. I can't really think of how many rookies are captains with, especially with a team so talented like this. You know, with a lot of, I guess you can say, vet guys. We're a pretty young team, but we have obviously a good amount of vets on this team. And so, to be named a captain by my peers and colleagues and my teammates and my friends and brothers, extremely grateful, extremely happy, something I told them as soon as, you know, I got to be able to break it down or talk to them and things like that. So, you know, ready to go, fired up, extremely grateful, and you know, we're excited.
Caleb, a lot of your success as a rookie is going to be based on your ability to learn well and learn quickly.
Yep.
How much can you? Is there an example, like maybe in your first game in college, for high school, anywhere at USC, just where you've had to learn quickly and learn well?
Yeah. I would say one of the times that I had to learn quickly and learn well, other than this time, is my freshman year. Both my freshman years, whether it's high school or college, I came in a situation where it was kind of the same, where I wasn't the starter immediately as soon as I came in. I had to learn a whole offense to be able to put myself in a position to be able to start, whether it was first game or, you know, like in college, whether it was the sixth or seventh grade game. And so I think those times have helped me. I also think that I have the ability to learn fast. I think that's my phone, not his. It's my alarm to eat. You know, the ability to learn fast, I think that has grown over time. Obviously, seeing a bunch of different been to a bunch of different games, seeing a bunch of different films and things like that, I think that's helped. Being in these offenses that I've been in high school, I was a little bit more under center. I had a few more play actions from under center and things like that. In college, I was a little bit more spread, throwing the ball around a lot more, seeing a bunch of different concepts of space and all these different things. So I've gotten a bunch of different, you know, different types of playing throughout my years, and I think it's helped me tremendously to be able to learn this offense.
How are you painting yourself a picture of the Titans defense for this week with a first-time coordinator in his first game and not a lot to study on film?
Yeah, that's the interesting part, is that there's not film to study from, whether it's, you know, a couple years ago or anything like that. He was the secondaries coach not too long ago with the Ravens and things like that. So you know, we're something that we say, we're not hunting ghosts, and so we're not hunting, you know, ghosts of you know, things that, you know, they may run, may not run. You know, we're going off of, you know, kind of what we've seen, some of the base things that we do know. And other than that, I mean, they have players. They got guys on the other side. So they've got Landry in 98, and they got Snead, obviously, and they got Diggs from Seattle, and all these other guys, Murray, horns down. No, it's they got some guys over there that I think fit their scheme well. They just got the guy Ernest from the Rams and things like that. So I think that you know, he's done a great job so far building his team, and then you know, on noon of Sunday, we'll be able to see kind of what they're actually doing, and then, you know, we'll make our adjustments in the game, and then go from there.
Okay. If you want to start saying this horns down business when you didn't spend all your time in Oklahoma, and I don't care who the head coach was, we need to have a discussion.
Well, look, it's funny because we'll talk with Jason Leisure tomorrow, but in Leisure's really great piece on Caleb actually talked about that. Like, he likes fight on and he likes horns down and he loves Bears.
Horns down is a troll. I get that.
I know, but he says that, at least he told Jason Leisure, that he finds it, that it's a rallying cry that he thinks can bring a lot of people together. And so when he's talking about bear down,
strengthens him.
Yeah. I also think there's a little bit of shade there too. I don't know if you guys caught it. When he's talking about the players on the Titans, he mentioned a bunch of names except for the guy who might be the most problematic, which is Jeffrey Simmons in the middle of their defense. Why did he do that? Because Jeffrey Simmons has been out here talking stuff about Caleb Williams for a long time. So he only got referred to by number, not by name.
Can I ask about the horns down thing? Can any Texas opponent do that?
Yes.
Anyone can. Somebody did it to Vince Young and he got in a fight at a strip club.
Horns down.
Like years after he graduated.
I just did it.
Or years after he left the school.
You could do it. Try it.
Horns down.
There you go.
It's okay. It's just a mockery. It's just something
silly.
But it's
silly. Not like an A&M thing or an Oklahoma. It's anybody who doesn't like Texas can do that.
Yeah, and like I said, people have done it to people in these streets and then got a fight and caught hands.
Well, he won against them, though.
Yeah.
So
no, that's the bit. That's why he does it.
He gets to say that as loud as he wants.
I just
he
crack
can't say
up
that
at
about
it.
Tulane, though. Can't say waves down.
Well, it's like horns down. And hey, dude. And the retort would be, you didn't even spend your entire career at OU. What do you know about horns?
But I beat them, though.
Apparently, Caleb is also a Tulane fan now.
Yeah, because his guy is down there.
I didn't go to Texas.
His receiver is there now, and he was is sending out photos of his receiver in his Green Wave uniform. So he got mad at Leisure for wearing his Tulane hat.
He wasn't actually mad. You have to clarify.
He was kidding around. You know that.
Yeah. I know that.
He wasn't actually mad. Of course not. He's a grown-up.
Have you seen the text messages?
Yeah. Also, you love vocabulary, and you can't come up with a better word to summarize your judgment of that.
Bite.
Mad is
He's.
I like that indirect shade. That was some nice indirect shade.
Just leaving out that.
Yeah. And they got 98.
I also think he's just a college football fan.
I think he's a football fan.
Yeah, that too.
I think that guy's a lunatic, and I love it.
Yeah, that was pretty good that he called him 98.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one way to mess with the ones who want attention, just don't give them any.
Yep.
We're going to give Russell Dorsey all the attention he craves and deserves when he joins us to talk baseball next on the...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Score.
Russell Dorsey, national MLB insider for Yahoo Sports.
For Cubs fans, you want to be playing games in September that matter. You want to be heading into the next season with your arrow pointing up.
Insider and analyst for Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV Plus.
Actions speak louder than words, specifically Jerry Reinsdorf saying, you know what? I don't know any of y'all, and I'm not going to even go through the process. I'm going to pick the guy right now that I want to be the general manager of the Chicago White Sox.
Insider and analyst on MLB Network.
What's up, Russ?
Russell Dorsey with Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi on 670 The Score. The Score.
Here he is in all his glory. He is Russell Dorsey of Yahoo Sports.
Mr. Handsome.
National MLB analyst. Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV Plus, MLB Network. And he joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Russell Dorsey, I could not believe that Chris Sale is the first Atlanta Braves left-hand pitcher with a 200 strikeout season? Not Warren Spahn, not Tom Glavine. I thought for sure that had to be wrong, and it's not.
Yeah, I saw the same stat yesterday and was just as shocked as you, Dan Bernstein. And the fact that Glavine didn't get there, I think 191 was where he was at. It's crazy. But Chris Sale, like, that's one of the best stories of the year when you think about the injuries. I didn't know if he'd be able to make it through a full season. And not only has he made it through a full season, they've needed him to be just as good as he's been with Spencer Strider going down before the year started. So I think it's pretty interesting, though. Chris Sale, I think he has 5 or 6 top 5 Cy Young finishes, not winning any. He will likely win the NL Cy Young Award this year. And you start to look at the numbers, he's putting himself on the track for Cooperstown.
I agree with you.
The service time and the consistency over that many years.
I think he is going to be one of these modern cases where if we look,
the target has changed.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But we got to throw out a lot of the old standards that we've been using for starting pitchers.
Regardless. All right, here's my thing, Dan. Does 3,000 strikeouts get him in? Because he's at 22.5 right now.
I think that's part of the larger
body of work. He's at 2,400 strikeouts.
I think peak value gets him in. Yeah, I think peak value gets him in.
Okay.
But
I think he'll hit the benchmark that will you be like, all right, cool. Whereas if he had finished with 2,700, you said the peak was as good as it got. So, yeah, I think we're seeing.
The Cy Young helps.
Consider also in the past when he was Cy Young worthy, who he lost to, people who had much shorter careers for amount of sustained success, like Corey Kluber, for example. Like, there was a year where you could have argued it could have gone to Sale and it went to Kluber. Like,
to 2017, when he struck out 308 batters.
Yeah, like, when you add up Sale's body of work, this is wild. And frankly, he doesn't look like the type of pitcher who would have mechanics that would make him last a long time.
And I think the pitch mix has changed a little bit. Like, he's throwing the slider, but not like he was in those years when he was striking out 300. Like, he's mixed it up a little bit more. And I just think it's really cool to see, you know, we talk about adjustments all the time, but to see a guy who I believe is 34 right now make adjustments, keep himself healthy so that he could, you know, in a new location, show that, no, I'm still really good.
You know who else is one of the best pitching reclamation stories of the season? His teammate.
Reynaldo
mm-hmm. Lopez.
I think when you look at that team, like, they had a reason to just punt a long time ago, mm-hmm. right? With all the injuries they have, you lose the MVP, you lose a guy who was a front runner for where people thought would be a Cy Young Award candidate this year in Strider. Michael Harris, a second down for most of the year. You lose Austin Riley. You know, guys aren't performing to their levels of play even before some of those injuries. Like, Acuña wasn't Acuña before he tore his ACL for the second time. And they've just been able to manage and plug holes. And, you know, you got to tip your cap to them, because there are a lot of teams that would have definitely said, you know what? Not our year.
So, Russ, I love when you put us on game, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, but I just did want to pass this stat along to you.
Okay.
The White Sox are 39 and a half games out of fourth place.
Jeez.
Nice.
I don't know why you did it, but I appreciate that nugget.
I thought that you just might want to know that, have that in your quiver. Now I want to talk about you putting us on game. When you're on this show, you'll be like, guys, you need to be paying attention to this, 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 and this. You had been telling us for weeks about the Jackson 3. Yeah. Like, hey, guys, you should probably be – there's a lot of good young talent out there. So break it down for the folks that are paying attention now and be like, wait, what's going on with all these guys named Jackson?
Yeah, so let's start closest to us. Let's go to Milwaukee, where we find one Jackson Churio that is, I believe, a homer away from becoming the first 20-year-old to have a 2020 season. And he has been amazing, especially with Christian Yelich being down for the year. He's turned into the dude in that lineup, along with, you know, his mentor, Willy Adames, who continues to hit, I feel like, a 3-run homer every night. He's an absolute stud. And to think that he's only 20 years old is crazy. And I know we talk about schemes and we talk about Jackson Merrill, who I'll get to here in a second. But like any other year, he's probably the unanimous NL Rookie of the Year. He just happens to have debuted in the year where Jackson Merrill is doing his thing out in San Diego, playing center field for the first time, and also one of the best defensive center fielders in baseball, one of the best clutch hitters in baseball, and as a rookie, 21 years old, has helped carry the Padres into the playoffs. The Jacksons, man, and then Jackson Holliday out in Baltimore has figured things out after a really slow start. So, you know, Lawrence, I just try to guide people in the right direction.
That's what I hear about you, and it's true.
We did the math on the Cubs, and the number that I got to, presuming the Braves play at their current win percentage for their remaining 24, I have the Cubs having to go 19-4 to surpass them, and that seems highly unlikely.
Yeah, that's a tough number. It's a tough number. And I do think the Atlanta Braves, there was a while there where I'm like, oh, the Mets are going to catch them. Because they weren't playing the greatest baseball. The Mets were red hot, but that's kind of slowed. It looks like the Mets have run out of gas. The Cubs have finally started to hit consistently. Like, we saw what they did on their last road trip and the runs that they put up. You're seeing something really great out of Pete Crow Armstrong, something that I think, even if you look beyond 2024, like, if this is, even if 75% of this is his offensive profile, I imagine the Cubs are very happy with that. And, you know, I think he's a confidence guy. like many are. But I think for him, like once he sees a couple fall, he starts hit the ball at the ballpark, use your legs. I think that's a guy that will start to learn like, oh, I'm like that. And I just think it's going to have to be the offense and the starting pitching that carry them. So do I think 19-4 is a tough number to reach? Absolutely. But I think you got to win series down the stretch and see, let the chips fall where they may. Like maybe Atlanta has a bad stretch. They got some tough opponents in September. I know they play the Mets that last week of the season. So they it's not impossible, but it will likely be, you have to play your best baseball of the season.
Russ, I think we had a little canary in the coal mine moment yesterday when Evan Drellick published the story in The Athletic talking about the disagreement that seems to be ahead of Major League Baseball and the Bally Regional Networks. They're the largest owner and operator of the regional sports networks that provide Major League Baseball teams with a lot of their revenue. And they're typically the most important because they have the most games, so they're taking up the most airtime. What do you know about this as to what it can mean for free agency in the market coming up in the offseason?
I'm not as dialed in as Evan, but what I do know is that teams this past offseason, two offseasons ago, were concerned about revenues because of this seemingly ongoing situation with them and the RSNs. I think you have a lot of RSNs folding. We have one here in town that's going to change. I think you look in, you know, that the AT&T RSNs and Root Sports and all these around the country, like this is something that has become a hot button issue, because if you're going to have teams that say we can't spend because we don't know what our finances are going to look like because this situation has been in limbo, I do think that's something that will affect the, you know, something like free agency trades in the offseason, et cetera. So we've seen it already. I think that's, you know, a little bit of what we've seen over the last two off seasons. But yeah, if it continues, if we continue to see questions unanswered and this continues to linger, you're going to continue to see a lot of these markets, especially the smaller markets, say, hey, yeah, we can't really go out and spend in the marketplace because we don't know what our revenue looks like.
I know that we are bored by the greatness of Shohei Ohtani at this point, but we shouldn't be.
I'm not.
We shouldn't be, because he's got a legit shot to be 50-50. This is insane, Russ.
I agree. And I think when watching Shohei Ohtani this year, there is, you know, it's something that, yes, Mike Trout was peak of his powers-ish when Shohei was there, you know, in the beginning for sure. Towards the tail end, it was mostly the Shohei show, no pun intended. But I think now being in LA, knowing you're going to be somewhere for a long time, knowing you have two other MVPs with you, he's kind of just been able to just be the best player in the world. And this year, adding the speed element where he has something similar to Acuña last year of, oh, I could just go and y'all not going to throw me out. Got it. And also be able to hit the ball out of the ballpark at a 50 homer clip is something that is not normal. So I'm very much a appreciate greatness when you see it type of guy. And that is greatness that we're watching.
He's got 44 home runs and 46 stolen bases with a month left to play.
Wow.
Like, that's stupid. It's just stupid. Russ, as always, we appreciate you. Have a wonderful rest of your week.
Thanks, guys.
Enjoy the sunny weather, Russ.
That's right.
I absolutely will. Too.
Yes.
And I don't know exactly what the next sound we have coming up is.
Wait. Can I just be retroactively mad about something, mm-hmm. especially since Layla's here?
Yeah. What's up?
You know who leads the Giants in war?
The San Francisco Giants? Matt Chapman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what position he plays?
Third base.
Remember when Layla says they don't need any more players. Layla's wrong. Have faith in people.
Who's his agent?
Scott Boras.
And you could have just done that.
There's also an available pitcher who's on a playoff team who's providing them a lot of depth.
You could have just done that. You could have just signed both of the Boras. You could have just signed them both. They're both position of need.
Why do you think I asked Russ the question I asked him?
Chapman's a 6B war player.
Is he really?
Yeah.
How much of that is defense?
A lot of it, but guess what you need it?
The Cubs
defense at third
used some.
It's a 121 OPS. Wow.
Guess what they ended up doing anyway?
Could have just done that.
Enough.
Could have done that.
Enough. I have something funny for you both, and everybody else might like it too, and it's next.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
When you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right?
670 The Score and Circa Sports Illinois are up to celebrate the start of football season next Thursday, September 12th. From 10 a.m. until 6 p.m., our show and the afternoon show will be live from the Lake Street Plaza at Prudential. There will be food trucks, games, and more throughout the day. Circa Sports Illinois will also have merch for customers that download the app and deposit. That's next Thursday, September 12th.
I'm going to be there.
It's 10 to 6 with Score and Circa Sports Illinois.
Yeah, I'll see you guys there. Outside. We'll be outside. Are we ready for that?
Yeah.
I'm ready. I'm ready to go back to Circa just because Stadium Swim looks like a golf simulator when you watch golf there.
That is also pretty great.
It's kind of amazing.
You remember that time you thought that Dan Campbell might not have had the best press conference? Dan, remember those times in 2021 when
Kneecaps.
We were inside?
Yep.
Old seven shots of espresso, Dan Campbell. Well, he has made it to an Applebee's commercial. And while some parts of you may think that this is offending your sensibilities, other parts of you will think this could be funny. So I'll have you take a listen.
Welcome to Applebee's. Can I interest you in America's favorite boneless wings for just 50 cents each?
I have the 50 cent bone.
Cover your mouth. They could steal your order.
I'll have the 50 cent boneless wings.
I'll have the same.
Perfect. They'll never see it coming.
How can you not like that guy?
Right. I like that he's making fun of himself. Like, that's great.
How can you not like him?
He was with a headset on, and he had the menu covering his mouth.
Yeah, he got to. Did you see who's on tomorrow's show?
On tomorrow's show? No.
Ray, did you didn't tell Dan who's on tomorrow's show?
We're going to do a little Titans-Bears preview with Dave McGinnis.
Oh, Dan, Terry, you guys been around the game a long time. You guys know football.
Coach Mack's going to be on the show tomorrow.
How exciting is
he? He's so great. We're gonna spin some yarns tomorrow. We're gonna get Coach Mack on, put our feet up.
Star of one of the ignominious days in Chicago sports history.
I'll never forget that.
Also,
none of us will.
Are you guys gonna talk to Austin Huff or no? You want to do it after the game? You guys should at least put a wager on the game.
You know what, Ray? We should get Austin on Friday. Tell Austin to stick around Friday because he is the number one Titans fan.
What about Ryan Parth?
Do you know what else he's been doing?
Screw Parth. I mean, we said to Parth, let's have someone on that could talk about the Titans. He didn't offer himself. So I'm like, you know what? Screw you then.
Wait, do you know what else Austin has been doing? Keeping track of Cody Bellinger's bio on Twitter. It still says Los Angeles Dodgers.
It's true.
Before Chicago takes on Tennessee, tune in Sunday morning from 9 to noon for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Presented by Busey Bank and Aurelio's. Join Mully, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley as they'll get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, Mully, Owen, and Manley will have instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Wonderverse. That will stream exclusively this week on the Score's YouTube and Twitch channels due to the Cubs game transition. Next.
Wait. So let me get this straight. The lead sports anchor of NBC5 is in the room with us, and she's getting ready to leave because she's got to go, be the lead sports anchor at NBC5.
I have a 2:30 meeting I have to attend.
But I look in the hallway, and there's another NBC5 sports anchor that's going to come in here and hang out.
Indeed. We're taking over. It's happening.
One city at a time?
Yes.
Huh.
We're on the city attitude, in fact.
Ruthie Polinsky is going to join Matt Spiegel on, what do they call it, Dan?
Score Afternoon Programming Show.
With Ruthie.
Next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.